What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got mints. Got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew NeuroGum really whenever I'm, especially when I'm making phone calls to my clients, whenever before a big meeting, whenever I'm driving around and I'm feeling a little tired or groggy, I'll just pop a piece and it gets me to where I need to be. It's only about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, so not a ton of caffeine. It's going to get you super jittery, or if you want to take a piece, you know, later in the day, it's not going to keep you up all night because it's only about 40 milligrams, about half a cup of coffee. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to Captain Beard Co. So if you're looking for great products for your beard, they make this unbelievable beard butter, balm, and oil. I use that to keep mine feeling fresh and looking good. They also have body wash, shampoo, and conditioner, all things made with all natural ingredients here locally in St. Louis. They also have a candle line with everything. Just everything smells amazing. So if you're looking for any new products, give them a try. And when you go to check out, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Also, shout out to our friends at Hand Wraps Rolling Papers. Hand Wraps are it's a local company here to St. Louis. They make extremely high quality rice and hemp rolling papers for cannabis. So if you are a cannabis user and it's something you're interested in, I think they're the best quality, and they're in 16 local dispensaries here in town. So get out there and check them out if you're into that sort of thing. So what's up, man?
I feel like
we haven't done one of these in a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You know, did the book review. I feel like
it's been about a month. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, since we did the 3-2-1.
Yeah,
since we did the one-on-one.
One-on-one, yeah. It's been, well, we did the 100th episode. That was kind of a big one, but we had that one a little bit more planned, which,
right.
You know, with these duets, you know, we kind of come in with a plan, but a lot of times you and I kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So just kind of catching up on how things are going. So how's things in Pat's world?
Yeah, I mean, it's finally adjusted. I mean, you know, I think just like with anybody, like with the seasons, you know, it's getting colder and darker sooner. So, you know, it's not as chipper or happy as normal, but I mean, all in all, doing pretty good. Getting settled into the apartment. I mean, it's dark. It's just like I wish I could paint it white, because I came from a house that had a bunch of windows and it was all white, real bright. It's just so dark. And but no, I mean, all in all, good. Business is good. It's pretty crazy how busy it's been the last, you know, month and a half since the election, which is great. You know, all those people that were waiting for the election and it happened, and now they're hopping into the market. You know, I think with it being a buyer's market right now, I think it's a great time for people to buy, and some people are finally starting to realize that and really hopping in on it. So
yeah, I've noticed my business pick up over the last month as well. Had several new listings, which is great for, you know, great for the buyers out there. And I've got, you know, a couple of buyers I'm working with, but you know, this year has been a weird, I was telling someone earlier today, it's definitely been a transition. I've, you know, it seems like that's kind of the progression most agents go, where they their first handful of years are mostly surrounded, you know, you're mostly servicing buyers. You know, I was pretty fortunate, you know, from the jump, I had, you know, a handful of listings, so I got some experience with that. But this year I've definitely like refined, and I've definitely got my processes down, and I like the whole system for what I do when I list houses. So it's been a good year for that. Like I've learned a lot, and I've grown a lot this year. It's been my best year yet, for sure.
That's awesome.
Volume wise. So, you know, I just want to keep growing and just getting better at this thing.
Yeah.
You know, learning more every week.
So you coming close on your goals, or did you hit your volume goal?
Yeah, I hit my volume goal. You know, I wanted to sell, you know, 75 houses this year, which I'm not even close to that, but you know, but that was also me kind of thinking that I some things happened that didn't exactly pan out like I had thought, with bringing some people onto the team and stuff. So, But hey, it's all good. I'm really happy with where I'm at. You know, now I kind of know moving forward if I'm going to build a team that, you know, I need to have some systems and processes in that are in, you know, and choosing people that are going to be willing to do the things that I teach and show them. So, it's been a good year. Can't complain at all.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I set a very lofty goal for this year, which I knew was going to be tough to meet. But that's the point of it, you know, to push myself. But all in all, I mean, it's been a good year. I'm going to be a little bit off of where I was last year by about 6 deals. But the biggest thing I've noticed is the volume. My volume is down compared to where it's been previous years in terms of like average loan amounts. You know, so it's just, you know, especially with housing affordability, you're seeing more people, go towards those lower priced homes, you know, $200,000 or less, just because that's where they're wanting to be on a monthly payment, which is great. When I talk to my clients, I always want them to, I always tell them, I'm like, if you can find a house that you want for a monthly payment that you're comfortable with, then you should buy,
That's what I always tell people. I'm always like, I always say people buy off the monthly payment. You know, that's the biggest thing. It's like that. Are you going to be comfortable with shelling that out every month? If you're not, this is not the right house for you to buy.
Right. And just getting in and knowing it's going to appreciate all that. I mean, it's not going to be as quick of equity building as people may think, just because of where interest rates are at, how mortgages work. You know, a lot of your initial payment, the first handful of years, is going to be more interest than principal. But that's why we always say, hey, if you can throw an extra $100 a month towards your principal, it makes a big difference.
Okay.
And so, at a minimum, but ultimately, it's been, my loan amounts previous years were hovering around 250, 260, and I'm just over 200 this year. So like, even if I was closing the same amount of loans, being just 6 shy of where I was at last year, who knows, it's still time to get deals for the end of the year. Volume wise, I'd say about 4 million off of where I was last year, just because of that, which is fine. That's not what's the volume for me isn't what it's important. It's the families that I can help get into a house or reduce their monthly payment, things like that. So,
and more people you help, the more people, more your business is going to grow, just because, especially when you do such a great job like you do, everybody's going to tell all their family and friends about you. So it's going to help years moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. It's good, man. What do you think of this book we're reading so far?
Honestly, I haven't gotten it yet. I ordered it. It's supposed to be delivered today. Okay. So yeah, it's well, what pisses me off. Okay. In Amazon, put that I'm in an apartment. Well, they can only deliver the packages Monday through Friday when the front door is unlocked, which is from 9 to 5. So, yeah, I ordered it. I get a call. I wake up and I had a missed call like 4:30 from Amazon. And like, we couldn't get into your apartment complex. Yeah. No shit. It's fucking 4:30
in the morning.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are you calling me at 4:30 in the morning? Like, anyway, so yeah, so it's been delayed. I should have it today. So.
Yeah, we have Amazon drivers just show up. I mean, all of a sudden, Cooper, our dog Cooper, will just be losing his mind at like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's what's going on out there. And then you look on the Ring camera, it's like, oh, Amazon's here. Four in the morning.
Yeah. That was the first for me. I didn't know they came out that early.
They show up at all hours of the night. It's crazy. Like, but funny that we're reading, the book we're reading is called Good Inside. I can't remember the author, Becky something. But anyway, it's a parenting book, which is great. It's kind of a change of pace from normally.
You like it so far?
So far, so good. Yeah. I'm only about 30 pages, so I haven't read a ton yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna really start digging into it. I'll probably eventually get the audiobook too, depending on where we're at toward the end of the month.
Yeah.
but that'll be fun. Gina's reading it too, so the game plan is to have her come on the show too. It'll be fun. I think she's nervous about coming on her first podcast. So.
Yeah, maybe I should give it to Melissa.
Yeah, just, do a four way. Yeah, be fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good. Oh, it's funny. In true, like, parenting fashion, or I don't know, it was just, like, I felt like it was, of course it happened with this book. Right when it shows up, I have it, like, sitting on the kitchen counter, and, Calvin was kind of going, having one of his moments where, he's wanting some attention, and because we were paying attention to Theo or something, and he goes over and grabs the book, just gronk spikes it right into Cooper's water bowl. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I just opened the Amazon package like 20 minutes ago. And I'm just like, oh, cool, it's here. And I just set it on the counter. And, you know, we weren't giving him attention that he wanted. And he just grabbed it, runs over and slams it right into the water bowl. I'm like, God. So I had to like hang it up so it was dry and let it dry out for a day before I could. So that's why I'm.
Well, how's the journey with the testosterone going?
So far so good. Yeah. You know, I go in, I think it's next week or no, I think the week after I go in to get my blood checked. That'll be my like 3 month check-in. So I'm really, really curious to see where I'm at. I feel good.
Right.
I've been feeling good. I'm feeling really strong in the gym. That's where I've noticed it significantly. Yeah. Like, I mean, the other day I had a 40-pound PR on my deadlift. So I was like, holy shit, you know, and I haven't been deadlifting that much either. So I was like, holy shit, like, hell yeah.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, same. I think I was at like 385 and then went up to 425. Yeah. Over,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's over great. A 2 month period.
Yeah, like, you know? And then today doing benches, and like bench wasn't ever anything that we would do for baseball. It's just not workout that you're doing. It's tough on the shoulders. It's not something that you want. It takes away your flexibility and all that, your flexion, that stuff. But, you know, went in and we're doing reps, you know, we're establishing our 5-rep max. And I was impressed. I was, you know, 225, 5. Yeah. So
great.
I was like, hey, man, this is something. Like, definitely, I can notice a difference in like the definition, the muscular definition of my body. I haven't been putting on weight. But at the same time, body fat's been dropping. Muscle mass is going up in weight, so you know there's that trade-off. I feel like I'm always fucking hungry.
I've been trying to gain. I'm like kind of going through like a bulk right now because I ultimately want to, you know, put on some size and then kind of shred down in the summer. Next year is the plan that I have with Bree, and you know, so she's got a ton right now, and so I'm eating like just over 3,000 calories, and I've been doing that probably about a month and a half or 2 months now. So I'm just eating.
Yeah.
But the only problem is, like, man, there'll be some days where I fuck up and don't eat enough during the day. And then I gotta pig out at night.
Yeah.
And get it all in, which is not the best way to do it. But.
That was the thing. It was like, I kind of plateaued where I was just kind of like no longer losing the weight. Like starting off, like the weight was like falling. But kind of like plateaued, and I was like stuck at this like 260 weight for a long time, and then started to go back up a little. I tested right before we started testosterone at 265, and then since taking it, I've been right around 270, 269, 270 for like the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's like everything still fits right. It's just like I feel like my muscles are getting big, strong, which is great. Energy wise has been awesome. You know, that was one of the biggest reasons why I would take it, just because I would like halfway through the day I'd crash. Like I would just go into this brain fog and not be able to do anything, and that's starting to, it's not completely gone, but it's fading away. Like it's not as drastic as it was, like where I'm like, fuck, I would fall asleep staring at my computer. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? How much time did I just lose by snoozing at my computer? And so I haven't had, that hasn't happened yet. But yeah, and that's the thing too, is like, it's really made me realize like how important sleep is. Because if I'm not getting a solid 8, then I'll be tired. So I've enjoyed it. I've liked it. I'm on week 10 tomorrow. Tomorrow's the start of week 11. So. Yeah.
11. Because I'm like a week or a couple days ahead or something. I don't know. But yeah, so far so good. I've been digging it. So I think it's a good decision. I'm feeling good. And I've got no negative to say about it other than like just having to stick a needle in my ass a couple times a week.
Yeah. and like it's like know what it is. And it's really not that.
No,
it's not painful, but like there's always that like slight hesitation. Yeah, I'm like right there and I'm like,
go. Yeah. 1, 2.
And like sometimes I'll put it in and like, oh, there was nothing there. Yeah. And then other times it's like there'll be the pinch, but yeah, it's not like This doesn't hurt. It's just that psychological thing, like, oh, I'm pump that needle.
Just do it.
So,
yeah. But anyway, today we wanted to, you know, this is kind of something we've kind of become, it's become a regular thing on our show. We do usually do it at least once a month, where we go through James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, his newsletter. If you're not subscribed, I highly recommend it's great. You know, free to subscribe. Just go on there and sign up for it. It
really makes you think.
Yeah, it comes out every Thursday. So this is the one that came out on
last Thursday.
Yeah, on November 28th. If you want to go check it out. Yeah. So yeah, this one came out on Thanksgiving. So the whole concept of it is his 3-2-1. So it's 3 ideas for me, 2 quotes from others, and 1 question for you. So let's start it off here. First, the 3 ideas for me. First one is, you can lose yourself 1 small compromise at a time. You can transform yourself 1 small win at a time.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. You know, personally, you know, there's times where, you know, you like the tracking meals, like, hey, it's very easy for that to snowball and get away from that. But all it takes is just, I might miss a day, but not letting that snowball into 2 days or 3 days or 4 days, and just getting right back on it, because that one win is going to propel me to track again. And well, so,
and like last week, for instance, like, I'm sure you didn't track on Thanksgiving. I didn't track on Thanksgiving. I ate like an asshole, you know, but that's kind of the whole point of the holiday.
And that's the thing, is then I forgot to track on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a good boy.
Yeah. So I forgot to track the Friday. Rachel's got me pre-tracking. So that, like, tracking the night before, which is amazing.
Because then you're like, you don't have to think about it.
Right. You just follow the plan that you've already got laid out. And I forgot to pre-track on Thanksgiving that night before Friday. And then I just completely forgot about it Friday until Friday night hit. Oh, shit. Yeah. But that's the thing, it can snowball.
Yeah, it happens easy.
Yeah, but then again, got right back into tracking, and here we are, five days in a row now.
And you know, that shit can happen with everything. Yeah, you know, whether anything. It's training or work, or you let like small little things, you know, go that you shouldn't.
Right.
You know, like these small compromises that you allow to happen. And you know, you look at yourself a month later, you're like, how the fuck did I get here?
Right.
How the fuck did I let that happen?
Letting that bitch voice win.
Yeah.
I've done it. My bitch voice has been strong lately, but I can't look at what the workout is on Wattify, because I'll look at, like, if I would have looked at the workout today, I would have convinced myself not to fucking go, but I'm so glad that I didn't. And I just showed up, and it was the hardest workout I've done at CrossFit.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like I've heard you say that a couple times.
I know. But that's the thing. Like, before this, it was Karen, which is the exact same thing, which is pretty much the exact same thing we did today.
Wall balls and burpee boxing.
Yeah. But Karen, you have like 28 minutes to complete everything.
What was the workout today?
So they called it, it's something about Despicable.
Yeah, it's like the Despicable Me week.
It was wall balls and box, burpee box jumps, or jump overs, but you only had 20 minutes. And so the first progression you would do, basically 7 minutes, you did 27 wall balls, 15 burpee box jump overs, 21 wall balls, 12 burpee box jump overs, 15 wall balls, 9 burpee box jump overs. And then you got to rest for 3 minutes. The next one was 21 wall balls, 12 burpees, and then 15 and 9, and then 9, 6. And you got a 2 minute rest. Then it was 15 and 9. 15 and 9. 9, 6, 6, and 3. Oh. Yeah, 20 minutes to do all that.
A lot of reps.
Yeah,
burpee box jump overs, that's a tough movement.
Right.
You know,
our RX was 20-pound med ball, 24-inch box. Level 2 was 14-pound ball and 20-inch. And so I did level 2 was the same reps scheme.
Yeah.
So I did level 2. And I was fucking shot. Like, I made it through two rounds. So I had the whole third round to get through. So 54 reps that I missed out on. So
Damn.
But that was, and that was after we did a 15-minute build up to our 5-rep max on bench press.
That's a hell of a workout. I wanted to go to that. I've been going to CrossFit a lot more lately. You know, taking some time off jujitsu, but am I itching to get back. I was thinking about it last night. I was like having some some anxiety.
And really?
Like, what is wrong? Like everything's good. I've got all these things going. It's usually like there's something I forgot about at work that I can't, I can't remember. And then all of a sudden it'll come to me. But I was like, it's probably just because I haven't done jujitsu in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is like a long time for me to not train. Mm-hmm. And I'm itching to get back.
Out of that routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's been a struggle for me with the kids, like trying to working out. Because I like to work out in the morning. But with the school, when I have the kids, I mean, Connor's drop off is 9 a.m. So, I can't make it. I can't go to an earlier class because I've got them. And so now it's pushing those workouts to either 5:30.
I wish there was a noon.
That'd be cool.
That'd be,
I know they got the open gyms. But
yeah, they used to do noons on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't think they do that.
No.
I like those. That was ideal for me because I could get there. I could drop because I usually drop my kids off between eight and nine, depending on the day and what my mother-in-law's got going on. So, it's nice. I can drop them off at 8:30 in the gym, 10 minutes from her house, so I can scoot right over and it works out nice. But yeah, if there was a noon, that would work nicely for my schedule. Just because I could always get what.
Yeah.
There's some mornings where shit happens and can't get them out the door. And,
I know that. Yeah. So, all right.
Let's go to the next one.
Number two. You don't have to be good at everything. You just need to double down on what you're naturally suited for. So, it just goes back to everything that we always talk about is, if you want to be the best at something, like you're going to have to sacrifice other things because you can't be the best at everything.
Yeah.
You're going to be mediocre. So find that one thing that you're all in on and find that one thing that you like or love and go all in on it and be the best at that one thing.
This is something I struggle with a lot because I do like, and the first thing that comes to my head with this one is like jujitsu and CrossFit because those are two things that I do regularly. And like, I love both of them. I have a lot of fun at both of them and I enjoy the communities of both of them. But like, ultimately, like if I had to pick one, I would pick if I had to pick one thing to only do one thing for the rest of your life, it would be jujitsu. And just because that's something I just have such a passion for and I love it. And so like there's times where I'll go to CrossFit. Man, I fucking suck at this. I want to get better at these things, but I just know time dedication that it takes to get better at Olympic lifts and like cleans and snatches and stuff. Like those are something that I'm definitely not very good at. A lot of the like gymnastics movements that I'm not very good at, like that I would love to improve and get better at muscle ups and handstand walking and all these things that are like really difficult that I really can't do at all. I mean, I can hit a couple muscle ups every now and then on a good day, but like it's not something I'm ever repping out in a workout.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I
we're not wide. Step up the bar. 15 of them.
Yeah, like cold with no. Like, dude, some people just have that.
Fuck you, Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that fucking day, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't even know like what he like. He's definitely not like working out like I am. Like, what the fuck? How come I can't do that? Like. Damn.
Some people have different functional strength.
Yeah.
So,
but I've always wanted to be, but it's like jiu-jitsu is the thing that I'm focused on. Okay, that's the one I want to excel at this. This is the one I compete regularly in. This is the one that like I have a huge passion for that like I would hope to do this forever.
Yeah.
And and so like there's been times where I'm like I struggle with it. But but ultimately I know jiu-jitsu is the focus and Rachel and all them that like they know that's what I'm what I really love it. So and they've always been super respectful of that. So
yeah. I mean for like mine for the longest time was like be the best loan officer. Like that I'm going to be the best loan officer. But and after a marriage falling apart, I mean for many reasons, but that being one of them, being solely focused on work and how that affected my relationship with my kids, then I came back around and realized like my kids are the most important. So like I want to be the best dad. Like that's my focus, which means I'm not going to be the best, like shooting to be the best loan officer. Man, maybe when they're older, I've got plenty of time. I'm not going anywhere in this business. Like I just like so now it's maintaining where like and continuing to grow, but not grow at that rapid rate that I was. Now, Nick may not like hearing that, but anyway, but that's the thing is like, I mean, I want to have a life. I want to be able to have and do things with kids. And that's the thing is like, you know, learning how to control my schedule and making sure I'm effective in the time that I have available to me so that when the time does come that I can hang out with my kids, that I can put the phone away. Yeah. I can spend time with them, hang out with them, be with them, do the things that a great dad does and be able to teach them those things. And like, yeah, still show them like, hey, yeah, you still have to work hard. You still have to put in the effort and all that to be good at your job and still like, you know, customer service wise and getting loans closed. Like, yeah, I still feel like I'm one of the best, but like volume wise, I'm not nearly one of the best at volume, you know, or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm in the top 10 of our region, but that's, you know, that's just not something that is a huge driver. It's not saying that I'm taking a step back from what I'm doing, but it's just saying that shifting my focus to being better, especially as a single father, like that's the most important thing right now. Maybe as they get older and I can start shifting back to that focus of being the best loan officer out there, then yeah, I will. But for now.
Well, that's something I've definitely learned from you this year, us doing this podcast and you and I spending so much time together is, you know, I'm kind of learning from your mistakes, you know, yeah. Like that was, there's times this year where I've definitely caught myself like not being the best dad, paying way more attention to work instead of the kids. And like I catch myself like, no, this is, you know, this is their time. Like I gotta put the phone down. I gotta not
right.
work on this deal's going to be here in 3 hours when I go to sleep.
Right.
I can handle it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are times where I still struggle with that, but I've learned that from you this year. Like I got to realize what's truly important to me and what, you know, there are things that can wait.
Yeah.
And I just need to put my first.
Yeah. That's the thing. Obviously there was other issues in our marriage, but that was a factor to it. And, you know, I don't want anybody else to go through that. Like, I mean, as amicable as and easy as listen, I've made it look, it's not. I mean, we still have our struggles. We still have our arguments. We still have our fights. We just communicate it better. But I mean, ultimately, like, I don't wish anybody to ever get divorced. It's not fun.
No.
It's not fun at all. But it did. It was a huge wake up call, a huge smack in the face. And so, yeah, so my perspective changed on what was going to be best. But like, that's it. I mean, if this was different, like if this was baseball, or like where I have a limited opportunity to do this, like I only have a short, like 10 years. Sure. At that point, yeah, I might have to say, listen, like I've got a short period of time for this. So I need to give all my focus, and do what I can to be the best at this at that time. And that's what I did when I was playing. But I say I was in the big league. That would be my focus. And I would have to make sure I had a partner with that, kids that understood that. Like, hey, once this is done, this is just a short period of time in dad's life, then we're going to make that shift. But with this job, fuck, I'm going to do this forever.
Forever.
Right. So I can put that on right now so I can raise my kids and teach them what they can be. So, but yeah, I mean, totally just make sure that whatever it is that you're wanting, narrowing that down and going all in on it.
Next one, train hard and focus on what you can control. Yeah, man, this is something my football coach would always say. And that's a line that kind of stuck with me. It's, hey, boys, we need to control the controllables.
Yep, same.
We can't, baseball. You know, we can't control what the other team's going to do. We can't control what kind of plays they're going to run, what kind of offense they're going to run. We can control what we're going to do. And so, like, let's control our stuff. We can't worry about what everybody else is doing. You know, it's something that applies to just about pretty much everything. You got to, whether it's real estate, whether it's fitness, whether it's your family, like, you can only control the things that you control, and you can't fixate on these, like, outside factors that are completely out of your control.
It's going to drive you crazy. It's going to make you paranoid. Same thing with baseball. I mean, that especially as a pitcher. Because once that ball leaves your hand, like, yeah, you should, as a pitcher, have enough control to know where you're throwing the pitch. Sometimes, yeah, pitch gets away and it's a mistake. And sometimes you get away with making a mistake. Most of the time, not. But once that ball leaves your hand and gets put into play, you have zero control. And you can't, if a guy puts a good swing on the ball, gets a hit, you can't control that. Hats off to that guy. But you see a lot of guys get down on themselves, like if some error gets made, they don't get a pitch called for a strike or something like that. Like it can really like mentally put people down. And then on this side of things, on our business, especially my side, it's like, listen, I know I'm not for everyone. Like I know that I'm not going to win every deal or every person that I talk to. I'd love to, that'd be great. But I know that I don't have the highest rates. I don't have the lowest rates. I'm usually right there with everybody else. But there's always going to be somebody that undercuts it. And I used to take that very personal, but then I realized like, hey, listen, you know what? Hey, you got a great deal on this. That's awesome. Good for you. Hopefully it works out. If it doesn't, call me back. And so just leave it at that. Like I used to just stress and freak about that, but it would just cause so much anxiety, stress that it just wasn't worth it. So, yep. Control the controllables. All right. What do we got next? Two quotes. Want to take this short one and I'll take the long one?
Sure. Appreciate that. Scientist Danella Meadows on being proactive, yet positive. There is too much bad news to justify complacency. There is too much good news to justify despair. Did I say that wrong? There's too much bad news to justify complacency. There is too much good news to justify despair.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically saying like, with all the bad news out there, you shouldn't be
don't fixate on bad shit.
It still do you. Yeah. Same thing on the good side of things. There's too much good news to be sad. Sad. Go out there and just do you. Figure out what it is that you want to do. I mean, it's just in line with everything else. Focus on what you can control. Do you. Go all in on.
I heard a quote recently. I think I put it on my Instagram. It was, worrying is like paying a debt.
That is really good.
I like that a lot. Yeah. And I sent that. He's a worry wart just about everything.
Well, yeah,
and
I think. well, that's the thing. I think I saw something today from the Daily Stoic. What was it that I shared? You're better off not giving the small things more time than they deserve. Same thing. Don't worry about this. Don't sweat the small stuff. Control what you can control.
Well said.
Yeah. All right, next. Writer and professor Joseph Campbell on loving your fate. Niche was the one who did the job for me. At a certain moment in his life, the idea came to him of what he called the love of your fate. Whatever your fate is, whatever the hell happens to you, this is what I need. It may look like a wreck, but go at it as though it were an opportunity, a challenge. If you bring love to that moment, not discouragement, you will find the strength there is. Any disaster you can survive is an improvement on your character, your stature, and your life. What a privilege. Then, when looking back at your life, you will see that the moments which seem to be great failures, followed by wreckage, were the incidents that shaped the life that you have now. The crisis throws you back, and when you are required to exhibit strength, it comes. So, there's a positive opportunity in everything. Like there's no failures. They're just learning experiences, ways to improve and get better. I didn't fail. I just learned how not to do something. I learned how to do it better. Like you learn more from losing than you do winning. And that's exactly what he's just stating here. In a more.
Much more eloquent way.
Damn professors. Yeah, are so wise.
Joseph Campbell. It's a good one.
Good one.
All right. One question for you. The best way to handle pressure is to apply it. What if you played the game like you were always on offense?
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of the same thing. Yeah. That's kind of the whole theme of this whole newsletter, I think, is just you control you. You plan your offense. You do the things that you can control.
Yeah.
And focusing on those things, that you does you no good to focus on what the other guys do.
Yeah, I mean, what's the purpose of offense moving forward, right?
Yeah.
So if you're always focusing on offense, you're always focusing on moving forward. You're never looking back or trying to backtrack and defend something. Just saying, all right, another step forward, another step back, another step forward.
best offense is a, or best defense is a good offense.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Just a basic attack every opportunity that you have. Just go all in on it.
Yeah. Go all in, man. Don't be scared to take that leap. Yeah. It can be scary whenever you're doing something that's unknown or that you don't know how this is going to end up. This could go so badly. It could also go great.
It could change your life.
Yeah. Don't focus on all the bad shit that could happen.
Right.
I think that just where people get in that like analysis paralysis where they're just afraid to and they're just kind of stuck and they're kind of stuck in a life that they're not happy with or something. Henry David Thoreau, that most men live lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
It's like how many people are out there that are just living a life that they're not happy with?
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of leads into, I saw Chris Williamson's post today, which was incredible.
I sent that one to you.
Yeah, about men, which is sad, but what did it say? Men aren't seen as having problems, but as being the problem. And suicide rates, men under 30 have risen by 40% since 2010. Four times higher than among
40% since 2010. That's insane.
Insane.
14 years.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It dives into a lot of things. It's a quote. It's a quote from somebody that he had on his podcast, or I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I listened to it.
Yeah.
I've been listening to his podcast so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so
just,
many good episodes.
And it's just not having a perspective. A why to push you forward and make some good points. There's just not the mental health out there, mental health care out there for men, or it's perceived as weak, which is a whole different thing that, like, that's the definition of being a man needs to change, because that's not being weak. Being in touch with your emotions and being in touch with your feelings and everything like that, and being able to control them and understand them, that's pretty manly. That's not being. I mean, I think we've asked this question before. Would you rather have IQ or a higher IQ or a higher EQ? Emotional intelligence versus just intelligence. And I think you need to have a high emotional intelligence to be. You can have a high IQ, low EQ. You can't have a high EQ and have a low.
I agree. Yeah.
So, but.
Man, so yeah, if anybody out there struggling with anything, please just go see someone.
Yeah, talk.
There was a recent guy that I knew in high school that a lot of people that I know are friends with. I didn't really stay in touch with them too much over ever since high school. Committed suicide over, I think, about 2 weeks ago. It's a big shock to everybody. From the outside, it didn't appear to be somebody that was struggling with it. But you never know what someone's got going on.
I've mentioned it therapist called it seasonal depression just because of the holidays, changing, getting dark earlier and temperatures, and a lot of changes in my life. Like, he's like, yeah, man, it's normal. You're going to have this time where you're probably going to feel a little down, especially around the holidays, not having family here. I do, but not really close with any of them. Like, really, my kids are it. So it's like, it gets lonely. It's just a season. I know that it's going to change. I'm going to come out of it. I'm fine. I just got to focus on the things that I need to focus on to move forward through this thing. But
All right, man. Huh? Well, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yep.
Guys, if you haven't hit that subscribe button for us, we'd really appreciate it if you did that. We're happy with where the show's at, and it's grown quite a bit over the last year, and we're just going to keep trying to grow it. And, it would help you guys tell a friend if you got something out of this episode or got anything out of any of our previous episodes. That's one thing. I was actually looking at some of the analytics yesterday. I noticed that a lot of people, watch old episodes, which makes sense, because I do that too with podcasts that I watch and listen to. I'll scroll back and find one that, I know that guy. I'll listen to one or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, hit that subscribe button for us. That would help us out a ton. And you know, hit that like button, comment what you thought below, share the show with a friend, and we'll see you guys next time.